Well, friends, we will pray just briefly and then we'll hear the word of God together. Let's pray. Gracious Father, Lord, we thank Thee for this particular word that we're going to hear tonight. We pray, Heavenly Father, that Thou truly bless it to our hearts, particularly the hearts of Thy people here tonight. And we pray that it help us, Lord, in our discipling and our following after the Lord Jesus Christ, that it may be closer, whatever the cost might be. Help us to be able to discern, Father, the nature of our discipleship tonight, whether it be far off or whether it is near. If it's near, Heavenly Father, keep us close to Thee. If, Father, we're at a real spiritual distance from our Saviour and our walk with Him at this time, we pray for grace to follow on harder after Him. Lord, may we truly walk with Thee, not ahead of Thee, not behind Thee, but with Thee all our days, until we dwell in Thy house forever. So be with us and bless this word to us. We ask it in Christ's name and for His sake. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Well, dear friends, the verse of the Bible that I'd like us to look together tonight is Matthew, the first Gospel, towards the end of that Gospel, Matthew chapter 26 and verse 58. We have the evangelist and the Gospel writer, Matthew, the Apostle Matthew, here continuing to write. I suppose he wrote this Gospel primarily for the Jews, but also being blessed not only to that people, that fold, but also to those who are not Jews, to those who are Gentiles throughout the Christian ages. And just before I tell you what he has to say here, what he wrote here to them, to us, let me just also mention that the parallel verses here, if you want to look them up later, and I'll wend them in as we go through this one here. Mark chapter 14 and verse 54, the parallel verse there in that synoptic gospel, Luke 22, 54 and 55, and John 18, 15 to 18. John there particularly describes in detail Peter's entrance into the high priest's palace. But we are looking tonight, and we're going to go through, God willing, this verse in Matthew 26, verse 58. But Peter followed him, that is, our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ, afar off to the high priest's palace, and went in and sat with the servants to see the end. But never a good sign, that is it. Sometimes in the scripture, when a verse begins with a but, it tends to be rather ominous, and it's ominous here. But Peter followed Christ afar off to the high priest's palace, and went in and sat with the servants to see the end. So, dear friends, tonight we're just looking at this single verse in the scripture, Matthew 26 and verse 58. You can see here that the Apostle Matthew was writing to the Jews here about his fellow apostle and his fellow countrymen, somebody of his own nation who was also a Jew. He's writing here to them about Peter, the Apostle Peter. In this verse, it's also mentioned about the Lord Jesus Christ, of course, who Peter was following afar off at this time. Also, the high priest is mentioned. That's where Peter ends up, in Jerusalem, in his palace or in his court. And also, the high priest's servants are also mentioned in this verse. But the one person that Matthew is concentrating upon here, and wanted the Jews to concentrate upon, and us tonight, for us to concentrate upon tonight, is the person of Peter, the man Peter, Simon Peter, the apostle, the one who became the great apostle to the Gentiles as well as to the Jews. The verse reads, "But Peter followed him afar off to the high priest's palace, and went in and sat with the servants in order to see the end," what was going to happen to the Lord Jesus Christ, having now been arrested and brought to the high priest for interrogation. Now, we know who's meant here by Peter. who Matthew is referring to by this man Peter. His name means a rock or a stone, and Peter was Simon's surname. His full name was Simon Peter. He was the brother of Andrew, who was also a disciple and apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he was the son of Jonas, or Johanan, or John, be another way of pronouncing that name. He was a native of Bethsaida, which was a village or a town on the edge of the Sea of Galilee, and in that area of Galilee. And he was a fisherman. And he was one of those that we read about towards the beginning of these Gospels, who was called to be one of the 12 apostles or disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. First and foremost, he was a servant of Jesus Christ. He was a saint. He was a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. But also he was not only called to follow Christ and to believe upon him from the heart, he was also called especially to be one of his 12 apostles, and was given special authority to preach and special powers later, special powers in his ministry to exorcise devils and even to work miracles, not in his own name or power, but in the name of God and through the power of God. But Peter was first and foremost a believer here, like you and me, if we're true believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. We next read about him in verse 69 of this chapter, Matthew chapter 26. Peter still sat without in the palace, and a damsel came to him, saying, "Thou also wast with Jesus of Galilee." So, dear friends, this evening we are concentrating or focusing upon this man. That's not so much as an apostle, but as a disciple and a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, somebody who's repented of his sins, and somebody who believed in Christ as the Son of God, and believed that he was the Saviour of the world, that he was the Christ of God, and the Messiah of his people. And the question I'd like to ask tonight is whether or not we're like this man here, whether we're like Peter in this verse. There are some good things written about Peter here, or at least there's one, there's not very many, but there are also, and that is for our encouragement and for our learning, but there are also some bad things here written about Peter, and things which are really a bit of a criticism of him. And they are here, my dear friends, for our instruction and for our learning, for our warning and for our correction. When we read the scriptures as God's people, and this is a message and a sermon very much for those of you who are believers, as the one this morning was for those of you perhaps who were not believers, when you read them, the scriptures can work in lots of different ways. Sometimes they can encourage us, sometimes they can rebuke and warn us. And we have both here in relation to this man. We have things here to encourage us, and we have things here also to warn us at the beginning of a new week in our discipling and following the Lord Jesus Christ as his people. Well, what is it that Matthew tells us here about this great man? He was a godly man, but he had his faults, he had his failings, and this is one of them here in this verse. What does Matthew have to tell us about him? What he told the Jews initially, and us today, as these scriptures are being preserved for us. Well, he tells us here about what Peter did, and the timing is this: after he and the other apostles and disciples had forsaken our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ in the Garden of Gethsemane, after Christ had prayed there, and they had slept and not watched and prayed, and then Judas had come to arrest Christ, and because they weren't spiritually strong enough through prayer and through the grace of God being given to them, they all forsook the Lord Jesus Christ and fled every which way. So this happened after that, after they're forsaking him and fleeing away from him, hither and thither, throughout the Garden of Gethsemane and outside of it. And this happened before Peter denied our Lord three times, as Christ prophesied he would. And this is all to humble Peter, because one of Peter's problems was he was too full of himself, and he did have to be humbled before he could be more greatly used in the future. from the day of Pentecost and onwards. He was too self-contained. He was still too self-dependent. He still relied too much upon himself. He was prepared to die with the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, well, was he? Well, let's just see if that was so. No, he wasn't prepared to die with him as yet. Without God's grace, indeed, he denied him, according to Christ's prophecy, before the cock crowed a number of times, before the cock crowed twice. So this was before he denied him three times in the high priest's palace. What are we told here about what Peter did? Well, he did three things. There are three actions by which he is described here and which are ascribed to him. We're told at the beginning of the verse that he followed. In the middle of the verse here, we're told that he entered or he went into a certain place. And then thirdly and finally, we're told that he sat or he reclined with the servants to see what was going to happen to the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want us tonight to look at these three things concerning this believer and this apostle and draw out some lessons from them. So at the beginning of this verse, verse 58, we're told about Peter following. And the word follow here means to accompany, to disciple both outwardly, externally, and also inwardly, internally, spiritually. Or to accompany, or to disciple, or to go in the same way as somebody, to follow. The word is used 77 times in the four Gospels of following our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, and there's only one use of this word that refers to them following anybody else, following a man before the institution of the Lord's Supper and before the celebration of the Passover towards the end of our Lord's life in Mark chapter 14 and verse 13. He followed. The same word is used in Matthew 27 and verse 55 about those women who were there at Golgotha. They beheld the Lord Jesus Christ afar off, and they were those who followed the Lord Jesus Christ from Galilee, ministering unto him. But as far as the Apostle Peter was concerned here, he wasn't following from Galilee, he was following the Lord Jesus Christ and Judas and the rest of the company that had arrested the Lord Jesus Christ, following them for the time that he had forsook Christ and fled, following him from the Garden of Gethsemane and into Jerusalem, and he's going to follow him all the way to the high priest's palace, where Christ, having been arrested, he was then going to be interrogated, and then he was going to be, as far as the Jews were concerned, was going to be sentenced to death. So Peter here was following. And Matthew tells us three things about his following, his physically following the Lord Jesus Christ at this time. But it's not only descriptive of his physically following Christ, it's also descriptive of his spiritual discipleship at this time, isn't it? So the first thing that's emphasized is this, the person that he was following. It wasn't so much that he was following Judas or those who were with Judas or even the Apostle John, because the Apostle John was somewhere in between Peter and these others who were ahead going in towards Jerusalem from the Garden of Gethsemane. The one who Peter was following was him. John actually mentions his name in his gospel. He was following Jesus. And a commentator says this, Peter's following Christ showed here, at least showed, love to him, love to Christ, even though his love was rather diminished at this time because of what had happened in the Garden of Gethsemane. He was loath to leave Christ. His bowels moved towards him. And he wanted to know how it would fare with him, how it would fare with Christ, how things were going to fall out concerning what was going to happen to him. He was concerned about that and cared for his Lord and for his Master, how things were going to fare with him and what would become of him. So Peter, and this is a good thing concerning him, and about the only good thing concerning him in this verse, he was at least still following Christ. He wasn't following Christ as closely as he should have been, but he was still following. He still loved Christ, but his love was rather diminished and lessened. The same. This is what he was called to do, wasn't it? Right from the very beginning, in Matthew chapter 4 and verses 19 and 20, when Christ initially and originally said to him, "Follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men." And they, both Peter and Andrew, straightway left their nets and followed the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, my dear friends, that's the good thing concerning Peter. He was following Christ. Let me ask you this evening, is that what you are doing? Are you following him? Are you following Christ not only outwardly and externally, but are you following him inwardly and spiritually? Well, if you are, that is something which is good. That is something that is good and beneficial and spiritually healthy for you. And that is something that is good for others also. And that is something which is glorifying to God. And I want to, in God's name, commend you for that. Praise you that to his glory. And to encourage you this week to keep on following him. To keep on discipling the Lord Jesus Christ. To keep on going after him. That even as you've begun to follow him right from the very beginning, having repented and believed upon his name, beginning to take up your cross and to follow Christ by faith, this week, my dear friends, carry on, persevere, endure, keep on going as the grace is given to you, to follow hard after the Lord Jesus Christ, physically in a way, but also spiritually. So Peter was following him, and that was good. But this is when the but comes in. This is when this rather ominous but comes in. Look at how he was following Christ. Sadly, my dear friends, through fear, being frightened of Judas, and what Judas was doing at this time and the others as well, being frightened of what was going to happen to the Lord Jesus Christ, being frightened of being kind of caught in with that himself, being arrested himself, being sentenced perhaps himself even to death. What kind of death might it be? Sadly, Peter at this time didn't have the courage because he'd not prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane, and so grace wasn't given to him to be strong and to be brave and to be courageous. And so therefore we find him here in rather a disgraceful way. Yes, following Christ, but following how? He was following afar off, physically, but also as indicative here of his spiritual condition. And he was probably following alone, behind John. And then John was behind Judas and the others and the Lord Jesus Christ. Following afar off, following from far away. Some Bible versions of commentators said at this, that he followed not only afar off, but alone. And which seems to be the true case. For though there was another disciple who also followed Jesus and is thought to be John, although John never mentions himself by name, yet it looks as if they followed him separately and not together. For the other disciple went into the palace with Jesus, but Peter not till afterwards, being espied by his fellow disciple standing without. These two, it seems, having a little recovered themselves from the fright they had been put to in the Garden of Gethsemane, stopped and turned back. Perhaps they were the first to do this amongst the other disciples and apostles and followed Christ to see what would be the issue of things. Peter's following Christ, as I just said, showed love to him. He was loath to leave him. His bowels moved towards him and yearned for him. He wanted to know how it would fare with him, what would become of him. But listen, and yet, keeping at a distance, following him afar off betrayed fear, lest he should be observed and taken up and come into danger. However, he proceeded on his way in a slow pace until he came to his destination, which we'll see what that was in a moment. So it was good that Peter was following Christ. That was good. But, he was following too far back, both physically and in his heart spiritually. He wasn't walking with God at this time. There was a separation here through fear, through a lack of grace and courage and bravery which God could have given to him. The same expression is used of those ladies, again in Matthew 27:55, and many women were there beholding afar off, which followed Jesus from Galilee, ministering unto him. My dear friend, the question for you and for me tonight is this. I commend you, my dear friend, if you're following Christ, but how are you following him? How closely are you following him? How closely are you following him, even physically, in attending the means of grace, in wanting to be where he wants you to be? But spiritually, my dear friends, how are you following him? Are you following him alone, spiritually alone? Or are you following him afar off spiritually? Well, that is not good for you. And that's not good for anybody else. And it's not to the glory of God. My dear friend tonight, are you following Christ far off spiritually? You're not where you should be. You're not walking with him. You're not close to him. You're not as close as you should be. You're not in this kind of spiritual proximity to him as you should be. You're not where he is or he wants you to be in his will and purpose. No, my dear friend, you're following afar off. Well, it's a dangerous place, my dear friend, to be. You need to follow him closely. Well, my dear friends, where did Peter follow him to? Well, we're told that he followed the Lord to the high priest's palace. That means the high or the chief priest's court, his palace, or a better word for this is his court, his dwelling house, which was in Jerusalem. And he came right into this place. He came not only to the outside, but Peter was going to let him in. And then he was going to be in the actual inner court. We read also about this palace in Matthew chapter 26 and verse 69. That Peter sat without in the palace. That's where he came to. And a damsel came to him saying, "Thou also wast with Jesus of Galilee." Well, my dear friends, this was, when you think about the high priest's palace, it wasn't a safe place, was it? It was a dangerous place. It was where Peter's and the apostles and the disciples' enemies were. Judas was there and he'd now proved himself to be an enemy. Those who were with Judas, they proved themselves to be enemies. And the high priest was a great enemy. And there is Peter going into the very mouth of the lion, if you like, into the jaws of the lion, separated from the Lord Jesus Christ. It was a very foolish, it was a very unwise, it was a stupid thing to do. He was laying himself open. And it's no wonder that when he actually came into that place, that he couldn't stand. And that he denied his Saviour three times. Because he was away from Christ. And away from Christ, he just proved to be totally spiritually weak. My dear friend, in your discipleship this week, you make sure that you're very close to the Lord Jesus Christ. Because you may be going into danger this week. And wherever unbelievers are, and that's where he was going into. He was going into a place filled with unbelievers. There are dangers, there are temptations that we are open to. And we can so easily faint and fall, be brought into temptation. And this week, you'll be going out into the world. Perhaps you'll be mixing with unbelievers there in your own home, amongst your neighbours, when you go to school or college, or when you go to work, or wherever it might be, just in your day-to-day lives. And what you must do, my dear friends, you must not lag behind the Lord Jesus Christ. You must be near to him. It's the place of safety. It's the place of security. It's the place of protection. He's your shepherd, and he's the only one who can really guard you from your enemies. You stray away from him, you leave yourself wide open, even as the Apostle Peter did here. In the high priest, coming to the high priest's palace, which was a place of danger. We're not home yet, my dear friends. We're not safe yet. We're not in glory when we can rest, and we no longer need to be on our guard. We are on enemy ground, enemy territory, as the hymn writers tell us. Christian, dost thou see them? Do you see the enemies? We're surrounded by enemies, spiritual enemies. and we need to be therefore close to Christ. It's the only place to be. So we're told first of all in the beginning of this verse about Peter's following. He was following Christ that was good. He was following afar off and alone that was bad. And he's following even into a dangerous place at a distance from Christ. That was very foolish of him. And my dear friends, we mustn't follow his example there at all this week. But secondly, briefly, Matthew also tells us, or was writing to the Jews, not only about Peter following Christ in this way, but he's actually going into the high priest's palace in verse 58b. He not only came to the high priest's palace, but he went in. And the Apostle John, in John chapter 18 and verses 15 to 18, he tells us a little bit more about this, what actually happened, what exactly happened. And he tells us like this. Peter followed Christ, so did another disciple. He doesn't mention him through humility, but it's no doubt the Apostle John himself. That disciple was known to the high priest and went in with Jesus into the palace of the high priest, but Peter stood at the door without. Then went out that other disciple, John, which was known to the high priest, and spake to her that kept the door, and brought in Peter. So, Peter comes behind, far off. He comes into Jerusalem. He comes to the high priest's house. He can't get in. But John sees that he can't get in, and so he brings him, first of all, into the outer court, which was the porch. People who were well-to-do in those days, they would have a wall around their property. There would be a gate. You'd be allowed in into the outer or to the exterior court. And then you could go into an inner court, which was surrounded by the buildings. And this is what happened to the Apostle Peter. He came to the door. He was let in through the door. He goes into the outer court, and then he goes into the inner court, where the servants were going to be, where he was going to initially deny Christ. But my dear friends, what you notice about the Apostle Peter is this. He's still following afar off. Because he's prepared to go so far in catching up Christ, but he's not prepared to go where the Lord Jesus Christ is. He's not prepared for that kind of spiritual heat and that kind of spiritual persecution. He's not prepared to really commit himself and to consecrate himself to the Lord Jesus Christ. He was being spiritually backward, wasn't he? My friend, I wonder about your discipleship. My dear friend, really, how committed are you? How far are you prepared to go for and with the Lord Jesus Christ? For you, he was prepared to go to death and to shed his blood and to go to the cross. How far are you and I prepared to go? Are we really in these days prepared to commit everything to him, to give ourselves to him, to give ourselves back to him, to put ourselves, as it were, on the altar as living sacrifices to him, to be prepared to go wherever he wants us to go, to be prepared to do whatever he wants us to do, and to suffer anything for him, out of love for him? How great is your love for him? How much are you prepared to sacrifice for him? How much are you prepared to give? Peter here was reining himself in. He wasn't prepared to go all the way, was he? Indeed, my dear friends, it wasn't until later on, until he was restored after his repentance and Christ's kindness to him, and after the Spirit of God was given to him in great measure, that he was prepared not to hold himself back. How we do that as Christians. We really hold ourselves back from really being all out after Christ. In the things that we do, in our service, in our ministry, in our evangelism, in our service and ministry for him from day to day. We kind of hold ourselves back. And perhaps we continue to do so. Well, we do it to save ourselves, don't we? To save our skins in a way. So we don't stick out too much, so we don't have to suffer. But what he wants, my dear friends, is for you really to take up that cross and to follow him, even if it involves persecution, even if it involves people saying bad things about us, turning away from us, forsaking us. He wants us to follow hard after him, whatever the cost might be. And there is a cost, isn't there, my dear friends, in becoming a Christian. It's cost people much in the past. It's sometimes cost them their lives. It's cost them a great deal of suffering, both physical persecution, mental suffering, emotional suffering, and it may cost us too. Are you prepared, with God's help, to pay the price? Well, Peter shows at this point he wasn't. He was afraid for himself. He was protecting his own skin. It's later on, wasn't he? He's prepared to even to die for Christ. And it's believed that he was crucified upside down in the end. He was a martyr in the end of his life before he went to glory. Later, he was prepared to pay the price out of love for the Lord Jesus Christ. So Peter entered into that place. And finally, thirdly, we see him sitting or reclining. He sat down there. We're told in the Mark that he sat. In Luke's Gospel, we're told that when they kindled a fire in that inner court, in the midst of the hall, and were sat down together, Peter also sat down. We have it here, and also in Matthew 26:69, when the story is taken up again. Peter sat without in the palace, and a damsel came to him saying, "Thou also wast with Jesus of Nazareth." You see the awful thing there about his faith at this time and his discipleship was this: the time when he should have been standing for Christ, standing shoulder to shoulder with him, strengthening him at that time of his suffering and going through his passion. What was it that the Apostle Peter was doing? Was he standing with Christ, standing up for him, and defending him and protecting him and speaking up for him? No, Peter was there and he was reclining. He was at ease. He was sitting. He was warming himself by the fire. He was looking after himself because it was cold. He was having a nice, comfortable time just before the Lord, his Saviour, Jesus Christ, was going to be crucified. And is that the nature of your Christianity, my dear friend, at this time? Are you really sitting down? And are you at ease in Zion when you should really be, like the hymn says, stand up for Jesus, standing up for him, making what you say count, standing for the gospel, standing for the cause of God and for truth, standing up for him in these days, and not kind of melting into the background, melting into the world, and being just like the world, being different, being separate, being distinct, being holy, being like Christ, being like God, and standing up for his truth in these days. What are you doing, my dear friend, spiritually? I can see you're sitting tonight, but spiritually, are you sitting? Are you at ease in Zion? Or are you active, spiritually active and proactive, a real Protestant, standing up for good things today, for the gospel, and for the good things of God's word? So he was sitting when he should have been standing, and standing for Christ, standing with him. And notice, most sadly of all, my dear friends, who he was sitting with. He was sitting with the servants. He warmed himself among them at that time in that inner court. These were the high priest's attendants, his ministers, his officers. We're told later about them in Mark 14 and verse 54. When Christ began to be persecuted before his death, some began to spit on him and to cover his face and to buffet him and to say to him, "Prophesy." And the servants, of whom Peter had sat with, did strike him with the palms of their hands. Truly, he was sitting in the seat of the scornful, wasn't he? Commentator says this: and it showed want of integrity at that time, and some degree of hypocrisy in placing himself among the servants of the high priest, as if he was none of the followers of Jesus, but was of the same complexion and caste with them. He had got into bad company. Have you got into bad company? And was in the way of temptation. And though he had no design in following Jesus and in going into the high priest's palace and in seating himself among the servants to deny his Lord, yet all this led on to it. for which reason these several circumstances are taken notice of, the account of which denial of his is afterwards related. He was sitting with the servants who later were going to persecute Christ, the scorners, the unbelievers. And that is something that we can do, sadly, when we're not following closely to Christ, when we're following afar off, we find ourselves sitting in the seat of the scornful. We go to places we shouldn't go. We sit amongst people we shouldn't really sit amongst, or at least at wrong times, and we find ourselves joining in their conversation. And before long, Peter, even Peter, was denying Christ before them, with an oath, with oaths, and with swearing, and with cursing. Is that your Christianity at the moment? Following afar off, and more at home with unbelievers than with the people of God. Oh, my dear friends, identify with God's people. Yes, testify and witness to unbelievers, but be careful you don't get dragged into their society, into their circles, and dragged down spiritually. And he sat there in order to see the end. Do you notice? Because of Peter's wayward walk at this time, he had ceased to be a participant, and he'd become a mere spiritual spectator. And that's when you know, my dear friends, all of these things you can tell you're not really walking closely to Christ. Who you're having company with, who you enjoy the company of, the way in which you talk to them, the way in which you go on, and so on, where you go, etc. But also, if as a Christian at this time, you are not a participant in the things of God, throwing your lot in with God's people, evangelizing and so on, but you are acting as a spectator, just looking on, and even worse, an armchair critic. What are you like? Are you a spectator, or are you a participant in the things of God and the things of his church? So, we have things here about Peter. One thing good, and for our encouragement and comfort, but a lot here bad. And to warn us, especially to warn us not to follow Christ afar off spiritually, but to follow him closely. He followed Christ afar off when he should have followed closely. He went in only so far when he should have gone all the way. He should have been totally committed to Christ and been with him right to the very end. And he sat with the servants, with the unbelievers, when he should have stood with his Lord and Saviour. And the warning, my dear friend, is this. It led on to his denial. It led on to his withdrawal, even from that inner court to the outer court. He went further away physically, went further away spiritually. It led to his oaths. It led to his cursing. It led to his swearing. And it led to time of bitterness and darkness for Peter, until his repentance and until his spiritual restoration. That's the warning, my friends. Don't follow Christ afar off. It's dangerous. Follow him closely. It's the place of safety and protection and security.